You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
Waiting. That's what God has us do. That's what he has us do when we think a little bit about the words that we heard from Luke. But it's also what he has us do now during Christmas, isn't it? We wait for Christmas to come. We wait for gifts to be opened. We wait maybe for Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. We wait. The question that we've asked or been asking is, do we wait well? How is it that we wait? For us today, I want you to think a little bit about Mary and Elizabeth. Who can tell me a little bit about Elizabeth's story? Anybody tell me about Elizabeth's story? Oh, somebody can help me out, right? No, come on. You don't count. You don't count. Well, you count. You count, but yes. Okay, it's the mother. Okay, Elizabeth is going to be the mother of John. How does she know that she's going to name him John? Her husband told her, because wives always do what the husbands say, right? Okay, yeah, that is true. It was what he told her that they were going to name their child. Well, let me rephrase that. I'm not sure that I do know he didn't tell her that that's what they were going to name their child. He maybe wrote that down. He maybe made some sign language, but there was this vision in the temple. So what happened in the vision in the temple? All right, so Zechariah didn't believe what the angel had told him right away, and he was not able to speak until the baby was born. So the next 9 months, 10 months, however long it took for them to become pregnant, and then for the duration of the pregnancy, right? But, well, let's go back one step further. Who was Zechariah? He was a priest, and he was where? In the temple, right? So as he's in the temple, and you know, we have to have a little background. When you think about temple worship then, remember that most of everybody would be outside of the temple. And in fact, a lot of our churches are kind of set up that way, where we have the court of the Gentiles right here, right? That's you guys. But there oftentimes is this barrier, whether it's a communion rail. In those days, inside the temple, there would have been two sections. In one section, you know, the priest can go in, and a lot of the other priests can go in. But then you got to the big curtain, and you had the Holy of Holies. And a lot of times, this is like the big curtain in the Holy of Holies. How many of you grew up? And if you went to church and if you, as a little kid, stepped up here on this, how many of you had your parents saying, get down from there, you can't go up there? Because that was where the pastor was, that was the holy place, you couldn't go up there, right? And if you started to run around up there, I mean, you waited for lightning to come because it was going to happen and you were going to be toast right there. Crispy critters, right? There is something to be said for the honor and the reverence that we honor God with. And we don't want to ever take that away, because we always ought to be reminded of who this holy God is. And in that day when Zechariah is in the temple and he's serving behind that curtain, he is the only one who's been able to go up there that day. He's serving on behalf of the people. And as he's behind the curtain, he has this vision. This angel shows up. Now, one of the other things background-wise is that they, you know, on his robe, he would have had bells and pomegranates interspersed on the bottom of his robe. And as long as they could hear the noise of the bells, they knew that the priest on the other side of that curtain was okay. But whenever those bells stopped, tradition has it that they also had a rope that they tied on one of the priests, on that priest's leg, ankle, so that if the bell stopped and they knew that God killed him up there because he did something wrong, they could pull him out underneath the curtain, because, you know, you could not go into the Holy of Holies. It was a place of awe and reverence for them. It was a place where God was. The Ark of the Covenant was there. Well, in our reading today, especially in the gospel reading from Luke that we're going to look at, you have Mary and Elizabeth, and we don't know if after this vision that Zechariah has in the temple, you know, he goes home and he's can't talk and he's trying to tell his wife what happened. We do know that the people are saying he took a long time in there, and when he came out, he couldn't speak, and that he had seen a vision. He must have seen a vision. So whether he would, it does say he was making hand signs, hand gestures to them. Whether he told them what he saw, whether he wrote down what he saw. But anyway, he goes home, and now he's with his wife, and for the next however long, he can't speak. So she knows that, you know, obviously something happened there in the temple. There must have been some change for that to actually happen. But as time goes along, she becomes pregnant. And so what he has written or told her what was going to happen happens, right? So she's 6 months along, 7 months along, and Mary comes. Again, what we're not told is, did Mary, who also had an angel show up to her, did Mary write a letter to her old cousin Elizabeth saying, hey, could I come visit you? Or did Mary just go to visit Elizabeth and just show up at the door? We're not told. But what we are told is that when Mary greeted Elizabeth, at that moment, the baby leaped within her womb. Now, moms, if you've been pregnant for, you know, in sixth, seventh month, you know that when the baby is doing somersaults in there, you can feel that, right? But there's something about this time that must have been different, that as soon as Mary greeted Elizabeth, that baby leaped in her womb, and the Holy Spirit fills Elizabeth, and Elizabeth has amazing words. Again, we're not told if Mary came in and said, hi, cousin Elizabeth, it's so good to see you. We're not told any of what she said or how she said it. We're not told if Elizabeth knew because of what had been written to her about a child coming. What we hear Elizabeth saying by the power of the Holy Spirit is that, why would the mother of my Lord come to me? Why are you here? Why are you honoring me with your presence? Okay, I have the child who is going to show the way. You have the child who is the way. And now you have these two moms who are together. They're going to be moms. One at the old end of the spectrum, who is said to be barren, who wasn't able to have children, at least that was the thought. She was way off on one end of the spectrum. And then you have Mary, who's this virgin who has not had any male person to come alongside of her and cause the pregnancy. You have God being able to do whatever God wants to do. On Wednesday, we talked about God being sovereign and his ability to, that all things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And again, for you and me today, you know, this is a story we've heard and read over and over and over again. I believe it's always a story we ought to say, do I really believe that? Do I really believe that an angel would show up in the temple and say that to Zechariah? Do I really believe that all of a sudden Zechariah couldn't talk? Do I really believe that as soon as the child was born that Zechariah can talk? We're going to name him John. Do we really believe that this virgin could have a child? We believe that that child is our way out of any pain and difficulty and hardship, that he is the one who would forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, in the trunk line on Wednesday, I kind of had the tagline, you know, are we there yet? We're waiting. Are we there yet? Are we through the pregnancy? Are we through waiting hundreds of years for this Messiah to come? Are we waiting for the next day to happen? I wonder if Mary, as she's traveling to Judah to see Elizabeth, if she's wondered, okay, am I almost there? When I get there, what's going to happen? What's Elizabeth going to say? What kind of meeting are we going to have? But the Holy Spirit sets the tone. And notice that it's the Holy Spirit that reacts first. It's the baby that reacts first. Before Elizabeth can say anything, the baby leaps in her womb. And Mary has the response then. What, you know, if some of you are familiar with some of our traditional services, there's the Magnificat, Mary's song that she gives to God in response to what Elizabeth has said. So you have these two gals on the opposite end of the age spectrum, both going to have a child of promise, God fulfilling history here, and you see these two different perspectives meeting, and they get together and they realize that God is so at work in us. He's not only at work in our hearts, in our minds, he's at work in my body. He's physically interacting with me. I am going to have this child of promise, the one who leads the way and the one, as I said before, who is the way. So what's your song of praise to God for what he's doing in your life? Now, maybe you've, like me, have been a Christian, a Lutheran from way back, and you know, you don't have a recollection of coming to faith, and you know, here there's this aha moment for both of them. What's our aha moment when we're saying, oh God, thank you so much for what you're doing and how you've done it and all of that? Do you have one? And sometimes we choose, you know, we've had music today that Paul has lined up where we're singing, O come, O come, Emmanuel. We're waiting for him to come. And then the second song, we're waiting for him. How do we wait? Do we wait well? If we think a little bit about other songs, other hymns, other music, when we sing, joy to the world, the Lord is come, right? The music kind of matches the message. If we sing, onward Christian soldiers, marching as to, it's kind of a march, right? The music kind of fits. Now, as they got together, you know, I don't know that they sang those. It says they exclaimed, they spoke, they sang. I'm not sure what came out of their mouths. Well, we know what came out of their mouths, but we don't know how it came out. But it came out in praise of God. For God, what God was doing, is doing, has done. So I want us to do a little bit of that today, a couple years ago, I'm going to invite these guys up. A couple years ago, I wrote some different words to jingle bells. Where it said, you know, jingle bells, ring those bells loud and long and clear. God with us, Emmanuel. And I we're not going to sing that one. But I did that one a couple years, just because I wanted to put my words to a tune. Now, I can know tunes. I have no way of writing music. But I love to take or make other words into a song. So today we're going to look at Silver Bells. How many of you know the tune to Silver Bells? All right? I am going to depend on you to sing loudly. There are different words to Silver Bells that on Friday it was like, I got to do something different to this. Number one, I had listened to the podcast before that and they talked about Silver Bells, but
it's always dangerous to listen to us.
Yeah. And when I did that, I thought, you know, it was just like, I got to do this. But so these are my words, they're not yours. They're probably a little cheesy at places. Well, they're not probably, they are. But what's your song to God? Now, this one starts out with the chorus, and the chorus, you know, they would have been called to worship with this ram's horn and all of that, so that, you know, the chorus has some of that in there. You kind of need that before we start, but let's go ahead. Now, in the other services, we didn't have any musical accompaniment. We had a couple people who helped me lead the a cappella singing through it. And I was appreciative of that help that was given to me. When Paul came in this morning, he said, I think we can play that.
Sure. We're going to be sight reading the words just like you, so we should all be.
That's really right. Because I don't know the words. Let's do this, okay?
Little bells, ramrods swell. Temple worshiping, praising God. Soon He will answer our prayers. Zechariah is astonished by an angel one day. He's been given a message. But he doesn't, now he can't speak. How will he tell his wife? They're going to have a baby named John. Little bells,
little bells,
ring more bells. Those are the sounds in the temple. Worshiping,
worshiping,
praising God. Soon He will answer our prayers. Then an angel came to Mary. You too will have a child. This great message is joy to the whole world. Savior, you are favored by God, and the world will know God is with us. Little bells, ring more bells, those are the sounds in the temple. Thank you. be the glory in all things. He is mighty, he is sovereign, and we worship him now. And on every street corner we'll hear
ringing bells.
Something about God answering our prayers, that he would be willing to come and do that for Mary and Elizabeth, but not just for them, for us. What's your song? I want you to go home, and I don't care if it's a hymn or a country song or a rock song or a jazz song. I want you to, if there's a song that you love that is kind of just your song, I want you to go home and see if you can't write those Bible words. Pick a Bible story and put those words to music. Music helps us to memorize. How often don't we hear something from 30 years ago? Well, at least I do. Hear something from 50 years ago. And all of a sudden, it's just like, I can sing along with all of those words, right? Because music helps us memorize. And it just, there's something about music. It just seats itself deep within us. We have the words that Mary and Elizabeth spoke or sang. And I looked at those and I thought, I just want to do something with that. I want to make it my own. I want you to make it your own. I would love it next week if I have 50 people who come up and said, here, I've got new words to this song or new words to that song. Or maybe you're one who can actually write music. I can't write music. I like to play around with words, but maybe we can come and sing your song here. I would love that. Because God is at work in us, right? In us. Emmanuel, God with us.